Ready to talk about the amazing hour that went down this week on 24. Let's get right to it. An ambulance is on his way for Henry Taylor. When it arrives, Jack and Renee tell them to not tell anyone that it's Mr. Taylor, because nobody knows that he's been kidnapped. None of what's been going on with him is public knowledge. It's not looking good for him. He's bleeding a lot. Like, a lot of blood is coming out of his chest, which sucks. Jack calls the president, and meanwhile, Renee goes and sees if she can find any hardware that can tell them where Dubaku went. So Jack calls the president. Ethan says to keep hope that they will find him. They don't know that they've gotten to him yet. When Jack calls, he tells her that he's alive, but he sustained a shot to the chest, and they're going to go to West Arlington Hospital. She asks, is he going to be okay? And he says, we don't know. And Bill asks if they have Dubaku, and Jack says no. He's probably trying to leave the country now, since we pretty much got his only leverage that he had left, which was Henry, and now that they have him, Dubaku doesn't, and so he's probably going to try to leave the country, so we need to keep an eye on all different ways that he can accomplish that. And he's really sorry about what happened with Henry. Allison says she's going to go to the hospital to be with her husband. Ethan is like, well, what about the plan? You're about to launch a military attack. And she says, our generals can execute this plan without me. I'm not going to be a prisoner while my husband is fighting for his life. You go, girl. Bill volunteers to assume responsibility for Allison's safety. He says, you know my prior record. You know you can trust me. The trust is like the biggest theme of this whole season, which we'll see a little bit later. And let's see. Oh, and he also requests that one of his people gets to go into the FBI, which is Chloe. Yay! And he gets his safety or his security protocols and all that, and then takes her to the hospital. And Ethan is like, "But, ma'am," and Allison's like, "Please shut up. We need to catch E.K. Dubaku." So yeah, I really like Allison still. Anyways, so Samuel, in quotation marks, goes and meets Marika. He says, something's come up. I need to leave the country right now. I haven't been honest with you. I'm here illegally, and immigration has caught up with me. Yeah, right. And she's like, oh, my sister did this, didn't she? And Dubaku, or Samuel, wants her to come with him, apparently to Belize. That's where he's headed. And she's like, well, I don't know. I don't really want to go. And then he's like, I don't have time to argue with you. And it was really rough. And she had this look on her face like, whoa, I've never seen that side of you before. And she says, I can't leave Rosa. And he's like, well, okay, she can join us as soon as possible. Don't tell her about our plans, not yet, because she might cause trouble. But I'll bring her here within a couple of days of where we get. And she's like, where? And he's like, do you love me? And then she's like, you know I do. And then he said, then trust me. There's the whole trust thing again. And then, you know, say you'll come with me. And she's like, okay, I'll get my things. And he calls some guy and says he needs to leave. His operation is kind of sucked. It's done. It's over with. And the guy was like, well, Juma's not going to be happy if you come home and you haven't, you know, executed your mission. And Dubaku was like, well, tell Juma to stuff it, basically. Back at the hideout, the greengrocer, Jack and Renee are on a computer looking for anything that will tell them where Dubaku went. They can't find anything, so they try to search the bodies and find anything they can find. Not having much luck. Larry calls Renee, and she tells him, we were in a firefight, we took down six of Dubaku's men, and everyone keeps asking Renee if she's okay, which I find really annoying because it's like every 5 minutes someone's like, "Are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay?" It's like, shut up. She's fine. You know, she's dealing with it the best way she can. She's, like I said last time, she's caught in the middle of these two men and she doesn't really know where she stands in between them. And like, just leave her alone. Let her do it on her own. And she says, "You know, I'm fine." And he says, "I'm not so sure." And she's like, "What does that mean?" It's like, leave her alone. And apparently Mrs. Vossler filed a complaint and against her, or against an unidentified woman who came in and harassed them. And we all know it was Renee. And, you know, she says, "It worked, didn't it? No one was hurt. You know, I did what was necessary." You know, that's another thing that's sort of a big theme this season, is doing what's necessary. And Larry was like, "You know what? Jack killed the woman's husband. I'm scared of what's happening to you." And there was this really nice scene where, as she was talking on the phone with Larry, she's also looking in the mirror, and she has blood on her face. And you can see the internal struggle that's going on as she sees herself like that. It's kind of, it was, I really like the way that was executed. And she, you know, she's like, "Of course, you know, this bothers me. I can see the woman's face in her child. You know, she had no idea that her husband was a traitor, and she looked at me like I was a monster." Which I think, you know, that's what Jack's been going through for the last 7 years. More than that, because the whole series has been over a number of years. So it's like, it's interesting to see that she finally is sort of understanding where Jack is. Finally, someone who can sort of understand. Gosh. Anyways, Jack finds an address, 21917 Euclid Street, apartment 6. I wonder where that goes to. Meanwhile, Marika is sneaking up into her apartment to pack her things to leave, and Rose is asleep, so she goes in her room and packs quietly. And then we get a nice surprise with Morris and Chloe, and finally we get to see Prescott, which is the name of their baby, and I was so happy. I love Morris and Chloe together. I think they're really perfect for each other, and their kid is so cute. And I'm just, oh, it makes me happy. And, yeah, so they're driving, Morris is driving Chloe to the FBI. And he's like, "Are you sure you won't need my help?" in his Morris way. And tells her to be careful, because if there's someone inside the bureau that's working for Dubaku or is a mole, you need to be careful. And she's like, "You know what, I'll be fine, just watch Prescott." And he says, "Well, if you get jammed up, you know where to find me." So cute. Oh, I love them. So Chloe gets into the FBI and meets up with Larry. Larry tells Janice to open up a secure socket, and she's like, "Why? What's going on? Why do we need a secure socket?" And she's being really annoying about it. Then Larry takes her into a conference room, and Chloe's like, "Someone might see me. Shouldn't we do this more covertly? If we're gonna, you know, if you bring me in here." And he's like, "Well, I think they brought her, they told people she was just like fixing the firewall or something. Something not important. She's just coming in." But Janice is really suspicious. And Chloe gets set up on the computer. And she's like, "Gosh, whoever set up your network this way didn't know what they were doing." And Larry was like, "I did that." And she was like, "Oh, my bad." And Larry said, "You worked with Jack a long time, didn't you? And, oh, you survived the experience." And Chloe was like, "WTF, what does that mean?" And Larry was like, "Well, a lot of people didn't survive, like Curtis and Ryan and his wife." And that pissed Chloe off, rightfully so, pissed me off too. And she said, "Jack Bauer is the most trustworthy man I know, so shut up, shut your face, shut your face." Gosh, I hate Larry. I don't like him at all. I really don't. Anytime he sort of builds up my affection for him, the next minute he just tears it right back down. He's not doing very well with me right now. Anyways, meanwhile, Janice is out in the main whatever office scoping out Chloe. She is so suspicious of what's going on. She's acting kind of shady, which kind of was a tip-off, maybe. We're still trying to figure out who the mole is. And Janice was acting really shady, but she was just jealous. And then, what's-her-face? I don't know what her name is, but Sean's mistress comes over to Janice, and she's like, "Oh my gosh, look, it's Chloe. She was a senior analyst at CTU. Oh my gosh, what is she doing here?" And pretty much just blew her cover. Good job. So, yeah. Back with Jubaku, he's talking to Mr. Burnett, I think was his name, and he's helping him get out of the country. And he needs a car. He gives him a passport, and Jubaku's smart, and he knows that they're probably going to try to take him out as he's trying to flee the country. And so he was smart, and he compiled lists of all the transactions and everything on everyone who was involved. So if he said, "If anything happens to me, everything that you did will be known." So, okay, bye. And so then the guy, Mr. Burnett, calls someone else. Gosh, there's so many people to keep track of. And he's like, "Yeah, Dubaku suspected we were going to take him out. So that sucks. So we have to just pray that he gets out of the country, because if he doesn't, then we're going down." Back at Marika's apartment, Rosa wakes up, comes in, sees her packing, and she's, you know, "Where are you going?" And Marika tells her that they're going to get away. Samuel told me he's an illegal, and we're going to go with him. We're going to go live with him in Belize. I don't remember him saying Belize. Maybe that's where he told her he was from when they met. But he never mentioned where exactly. So, anyways. And Rose is like, "He's lying. I don't trust him. Blah, blah, blah." And then all of a sudden, Jack and Renee bust into the apartment, which was awesome. And seriously, if they're lucky they don't know who Jack Bauer is, because if Jack Bauer busted in my apartment like that, I would pee my pants. Not even joking. Anyways, of course, he's asking where Dubaku is. "Do you know him?" Rosa says no. And Jack's like, "Dude, why are you lying to me? I know you know him. Where are you going to go meet him? Do you work for him? Do you know what he's doing here?" And she's just like, "No, I don't know, blah, blah, blah." And then Jack can, like, tell why, you know, how she's involved with him just by the way that she's reacting. And he's like, "Do you have any idea what this man is?" And she's like, "He's everything to me," which is really sad. And, I shouldn't be mean to her, because obviously he tricked her into thinking he was someone he wasn't, and it's not her fault. But at the same time, I still feel like she should have known, you know, I don't know. I just feel like I feel like she was kind of dumb about the whole thing. But now she gets to redeem herself, so that's cool. Back at the hospital, Allison arrives with Bill, and she wants to see her husband. And Dr. Schulman, this is doctor, he said, you know, you can see him, but keep it brief. He's looking at a minimum of 5 hours of surgery. And Allison asks, "Is there any prognosis?" And be blunt with me. I want bluntness. And Dr. Schulman says his chances aren't good, but we're going to do everything we can. And then she goes and sees Henry, and she says, "I'm so sorry I didn't listen to you about Roger. You're always right." Henry said, "He was a hero," and Allison said, "And so are you." It was so sad. It was such a touching moment. I love them. You can tell they're really in love, and they're a great couple. And I just love Allison anyway. So anything she does, it was just a great scene. And then Allison, he goes into the surgery room, and then Allison tells Bill that there's something that she wants him to do, to go find Olivia and bring her to me. And Olivia is her daughter. And Bill asks if she's told her, and Allison said she would never get on the phone with me. Apparently they have a strained relationship. And and Allison tells Bill that she works for a consulting firm. "Do you have anyone trustworthy you can send?" And he's like, yes, I do. And I was thinking, you know, who could it be that he would send that's trustworthy? I wonder. Anyways, we'll talk about that a little bit later. Back at Marika's apartment, Renee's going through a slideshow of all the different pictures of Dubaku. You know, all the killing, the mass murders that he's capable of. Jack is, I mean, he's sort of taken a little bit of pity on her, because obviously this is a huge shock. And he says, you know, I've seen what he's capable of. I know this is a shock, and I'm sorry, but we need your help. And he wants to send her in to meet him. He wants her to keep the meeting that they set earlier, you know, to go away. And she asks where, and she says, I'm waiting for his call. Jack uses her phone as a tracking device. And he calls her, and she's really freaking out about this whole thing, understandably. And we've seen operations like this where you send a jaded girlfriend or someone who has been betrayed by someone who you're trying to sting, totally blow the operation. I remember one in a hotel where, you know, she tried to stab him to death, and because she was so angry and she couldn't keep it together long enough for them to go and get the information they needed. So I was really worried about Marika, and so Dubaku calls and Jack makes her answer it, and she doesn't want to do it, but she finally picks up, and Dubaku's like, what took you so long to answer the phone? And she was like, oh, I was in the bedroom. And he's picks up on the fact that she sounds a little bit funny. I mean, she was crying, and she came up with a good story. Rosa found us. She found me. We had a fight, and so, but everything's okay. And so Baku tells her that he's sending a driver and that she should go downstairs. And so Jack tells, you know, you did great. And Jack talks to Renee and says, we can get her to go meet with him. We can track her, use the cell phone as a transponder. We don't have another choice. And because Renee's like, I don't want to do it. Jack says, we don't have any other choice. We need to do it this way. So he goes and asks Marika, he says, we have a favor to ask of you. I can't make you do it, but will you go with the driver? And Marika is totally up for it. She says, it's the right thing to do. She's scared, but it's the right thing to do. Of course, Rosa doesn't want her to go. She said that the only reason she, you know, didn't like Dubaku or Samuel in the first place was because she was jealous. She didn't want him to take her away from Rosa. It was really touching. It was a sisterly love thing. But she was right about him. She was right that she shouldn't have trusted him. Even if she was jealous, she still was right. So, anyways, Jack got the SID number off of the... Sorry, there was just a really loud noise in my ear, and it scared me. Jack made her cell phone into a transponder, and he said, we'll never be more than a mile behind, and we'll move in when you get there. So, yeah, and then he calls Chloe, tells her what's going on, and says, I need a SAT reading, 1C48689. Yeah. Meanwhile, back in the FBI, Chloe's, you know, setting this all up, tracking Marika, and Janice is trying to override Chloe, and we can see that she's trying to, you know, see what Chloe's doing, but she doesn't have the security clearance to do it. So, then we see a young woman doing a business deal. We know this is Olivia, the president's daughter, and we see a man walk up, and it's Aaron Pierce! Yay! And she's like, what are you doing here? I refused Secret Service a while ago. And Aaron was like, well, I have to insist that you come with me. And she was like, what's so important? And she's really annoyed that he's interrupting this business deal. But this guy's like, you know, I can come back later. We can do this later. And she's just really annoyed that he's ruining it. And he's like, seriously, you need to come with me. Your father's dying. He's in surgery. None of this is public knowledge. And she's like, oh my gosh. And it was nice. So she goes with him. Back at the FBI, Janice thinks Chloe is replacing her. Seriously. And she needs Sean to help her. And she's like, well, maybe I should stop covering for you because of your, you know, your sexual indiscretions and all that sort of thing. I want to know what she's doing. So he gives her this flash drive, which I don't know what kind of thing it was, but obviously we'll see in a minute. So then Marika goes and meets the driver. Rose is like, "You FBI, you keep her safe." And, you know, she's scared. And Jack tells her, don't do anything that's going to arouse suspicion. Renee says, "Oh, if you need us, you can punch this code." And Jack's like, "No, don't. Don't do anything that's going to arouse suspicion. What the heck, Renee?" And she's like, "I just don't want her to think she's alone." You know, taking pity on her. But Jack's like, "Dude, shut up." So the driver pulls up. She gets in. And yeah. Then Janice goes down to that, like, big computer room in the basement where there's, like, the main hub of everything, and she pretty much just wants to know what Chloe is doing. Marika asks the driver how much further there is. Nothing. He doesn't answer. Janice is then eavesdropping on the conversation. Chloe's tracking Marika. Now she knows exactly what's going on, and so does someone else. Then all of a sudden, something's glitched out from Chloe because Janice has to X out really quickly because someone comes down. But it's back up now, but Chloe knows someone was in the system mirroring the terminal, and they know exactly what we're doing. So what now? And then all of a sudden, Jack and Renee are surrounded by popos from all sides, and apparently there's a federal warrant for their arrest. So whoever gave Janice that flash drive was able to figure out what they were doing. Who gave Janice the flash drive but Sean? I knew it. I knew it was a snake. God. Okay. Anyways, so Larry Moss calls the police and are like, "You need to release them." And they're like, "No, we have a federal warrant." And Chloe confirms that someone from their department sent out the warrant. And, oh no, there's a going on. So then, Sean, back to Sean the snake, he calls the same guy that was helping Dubaku get out of the country, Mr. Benton, whatever his name was. He tells him he took care of Renee and Bauer, and he's like, he asks, "Why are we still keeping Dubaku alive?" And he tells him, "Well, because he has information on everyone who's involved in this, including you, so you better pray he gets away." Then, Dubaku gets a phone call, and I think it's the same guy. There's so many, like, creepy guys running around. Anyways, this guy says, "You've got a problem. Your girlfriend's been turned by the FBI. They told her who you are. She's using her cell phone as a tracker. You need to leave right now. And do you want me to get the driver to take care of her?" And he's like, "No, I'll take care of her." And that is the end of the hour. Gosh, that was a good episode. Ugh. I don't know. I mean, I think it was, there was so much action going on. I think it was one of those transition episodes where you get more character development. And I know I say this every time, but I really love Allison Taylor. I think that one of my friends is like, "Yay, we finally have a righteous president again." And it's so true. And not only is she a great president, but she's also extremely human. And we get to see that side of her now that, you know, Henry is going through the surgery and she's worried about him. And I think, you know, we got to see the human side of David Palmer as well. And that's, I think, what made us love him so much, is that not only was he an amazing president, but he was also, you know, just human, and he dealt with his issues, but he dealt with them in a constructive way, not like any other president that we've had on the show yet. So, as the weeks go on, I love her more and more, and I wish that she was real. Did anyone else think that it was like a family reunion this time? Because we had Morris coming out, and we had Aaron Pierce, and we had, like, I just can't wait to see, you know, who else from the past pops up, because now we've got, you know, everyone's pretty much a free agent, it seems like, who was in the past, especially who worked at CTU, and, of course, Aaron Pierce. That was such a nice surprise. I mean, I was going through my head when she was asking who did you think, or do you have anyone that you think is trustworthy enough to send to get my daughter? And I was like, going through, well, can't be Tony because he's busy. He's busy doing stuff, and who could it be? And then as soon as I heard his voice, I was like, yeah, it's Aaron. I always loved him. He was a great character, and I'm really glad he's back, and I hope he sticks around and actually plays a part, and I'm sure he will. But yeah, it's just like a nice family reunion. We've got Bill and Chloe and Jack and Aaron and Morris and little Prescott. Aw, so cute. One of the things that I was looking forward to the most this season was seeing their kid, because I think that there's no way with Chloe and I always call them Clovis and Maury. Morris and Chloe. Anyways, there's no way that with them as parents that kid can be normal. And I can't wait to see. I wish that they actually had scenes with him talking. And I hope they do in the future. Even though he's still little. He's got like 5 years, I think. So yeah, but that was really nice to see. Yay. I hope more people come back. If there was someone, who is there that you would like to see come back on this season? And if they come back, in what capacity would they be, like an Aaron Pierce character, where they, you know, go bring in someone? Who do you think is trustworthy enough that is still alive that could come back and do some good this season? That's a good question. So yeah, that was great. I loved that whole thing. Good for Marika about being brave. I mean, it totally sucks that she had to find out that way, and it totally sucks that, you know, that happened to her to begin with. But I think that she's realizing, you know, the capacity of good that she can do now. The position she's in is something that is very, has the potential to be doing really good, except for the fact now that everyone knows that she's been turned by the FBI, so she was in a good position for a little while. Now she's not in such a good position, which kind of sucks. As for Janice, gosh, I was really annoyed by her, especially, you know, I have a protective, like, reaction to every old character. So the new ones, they have to live up to, they have to, like, earn their spot. They have to earn my, like, approval before I will, like, protect them. I don't know if that makes sense, but, like, if someone wants to say mean things to Jack, I'm gonna get angry. You know, that sort of thing. So, of course, Chloe has that from me, and then, you know, I haven't really decided about Janice yet. I had been liking her more and more, but now I don't. She was just such a jerk and so, like, seriously, really insecure, obviously, about her skills. I mean, Chloe's the best of the best, and we all know that. And she, I don't think that Janice knew who she was, so she really had no reason to be suspicious until what's her face came and was like, oh yeah, that's Chloe, she's the best ever. Oh, Janice. And I had a comment that from one of my fans that the whole episode was set up to make it look like Janice was the mole, but in reality it was Sean. And yeah, that wasn't really a shock to me. I've sort of mentioned before that I thought it was him. I also thought it could have been his mistress. I don't remember her name. I don't respect her enough to remember her name. But anyway, so yeah, I was not surprised at that development at all. He just looks so snaky, and he's so oily and gross. But the same viewer who commented on Janice also said that he doesn't think that Sean is the only one who's working. And I agree. I still think, I mean, there's so many people that could be involved. So I think we'll be surprised. Let's see. What else is there? Oh, okay. So the whole thing about Marika and Dubaku, and I don't know. This is kind of spoilery. If you don't want to hear about next episode, which, I mean, it really isn't that spoilery, but I still don't understand why he's being so insistent on her coming with him. Because he's risking a lot of trouble for her to come with him. Like, I don't... there has to be something that she has that he wants or he needs. I just don't think that he's capable of, like, love. But that seems like the only reason why he would be risking all of this trouble. And if you saw in the preview, he seems, genuinely hurt that Marika, you know, betrayed, in quotation marks, him. It's just, like, I think it's funny that he says, oh, you betrayed me, when he's been betraying her this whole time. Lying about his identity, doing these horrible things, not telling her, you know, who he really is. And then he gets angry when she finds out and wants to help stop him. I just think that's so ironic. And, like, I just can't think of a good reason, you know, what she has. We haven't seen, like, she's just a waitress. And she has a sick sister. What could there possibly be that he could use or want or need besides, you know, just loving her, which I think is ridiculous. Like, not... it just seems, you know, he's such a horrible man. Like, he's just a... he's known as the Butcher of Sangala for Pete's sake. And, like... it's just weird to see someone who has done so many atrocious things, like, be genuinely in love. I don't even know if that's true. I'm still really skeptical. But as of now, that seems like really the only reason why he would be so upset, number one, that she is working with the FBI, and number two, that he's trying to get her out of the country with him. I just don't get it. I just don't get it. Phew! Alright, that's the end of another Bauer Power Hour. Yeah, I have an announcement to make. I now have a fan page of the show, which was made by the wonderful Eric, who has been... he's really, like, the first fan who contacted me and has been in touch with me on a regular basis. And he made this website for me for the show. So, thank you so much for doing that. And hopefully we can utilize it more as the season rolls on. It's pretty cool. The address is www.bauerpowerhour.bravehost.com. That's bauerpowerhour.bravehost.com. I also have the link. I posted the link up on my Facebook page. If you're my friend on Facebook, you can see that. Yeah, so this fan site has all of my podcasts listed. You can go find them there, the ones you missed, maybe. It's got a chat room, which I think is awesome, a message board as well, and it also has 24 trailers for the next season of 24, or next episode, that's what I meant, episode of 24, so you can watch those at this website, and you can also email me through it. I'm sort of thinking that during the show, I will be in the chat room to talk to anyone in a real-time fashion and get comments that way. So that will be cool. So if you want to join me in the chat room on Mondays during 24, go ahead and do that. I think I'll start doing that next week. I'm on Mountain Time, so I think that might be a conflict with some people. Some people see it earlier, some people see it later, but I'm on Mountain Time, so that's the time when I'll be in there. At 8 o'clock Mountain Time is when I'll be in there. So yeah, it's really cool, and so check that out, and become a member of the message board, and leave questions for me. There's a whole Ask Ariel board where you can ask me questions and stuff, and just generally talk about 24. I'm so excited about this website, and I really hope to use get a lot of use out of it this season. Yay, so thanks again to Eric. That was really cool. Really awesome. Also, you can leave me comments in a lot of various different ways. You can email me. You can use the website. You can email me off the website. If you don't want to go to the website, my email is bowerpowerhour@podomatic.com. You can also, like I mentioned before, become a friend on Facebook. Just search Bower Power Hour, and you'll find a picture of me with the 24 logo in the corner. That's me. Be my friend. Need some more friends. Let's see. Oh, you can look at my show page at bowerpowerhour.podomatic.com. And you can also look at my show notes, but they're not updated, so I wouldn't recommend doing that. I'll let you know when I've updated them if you ever want to go and look. The show notes are basically the transcript of what I write down during the show, what I type during the show. The reason I don't have them posted is because I type really, really fast to keep up with everything that's going on, and they wouldn't make sense to put them up. So, but if I ever get around to updating them, I'll let you know, and you can go visit those. I think that's all the ways you can get in touch with me. But again, check out that website. It's really cool, and I really hope to use it a lot. It'd be a great way for all the fans of the show to come together and all meet in one spot and have some fun talking about 24. I mean, I've heard a lot of from all the people who've been talking to me so far. I've gotten a lot of great comments and a lot of great input about the show and a lot of things I never thought about before. So thank you to everyone who's been posting on my Facebook wall and who's been talking to me. I've had so much fun interacting with you, and I can't, you know, and I look forward to keeping it up in the future and as we take this journey through the day. So yeah, I'll see you guys next week for the next installment. Don't forget to tune in on Monday and watch 24, because I have a feeling it's going to be awesome. And yeah, and I'll see you next Thursday with another edition of Bower Power Hour.